The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with great value travel insurance online at supervalue.ie.
First of all, I want to mention the Edinburgh Fringe Festival because it draws to a close basically this weekend. It began, a little bit of a history here, in 1947 when a handful of companies that hadn't been invited to appear in the inaugural Edinburgh International Festival, they decided to turn up and perform anyway. Since then, the Fringe has grown into the largest arts festival in the world, and similar events have since sprung up everywhere from Dublin to Dubai. So I'm joined in the studio now by a man who has seen his fair share of Fringe festivals, from Edinburgh to LA to Pakistan in between, and he's performing a show at this year's Dublin Fringe. It's called Developing the Country as a Whole, without the W on the last word. A.B. Philbin-Bowman, good morning to you. A.B., you're a veteran of the Edinburgh Fringe, but not this year. Why is that?
Well, the very boring answer, Dave, is that essentially I'm juggling three or four other projects and I didn't have time. But the marginally...
Well, that's a really boring
I know,
answer.
It's really very... Yeah. I mean, part of me would love to be there, to be honest, but the another part of me is quite relieved that I'm not exhausted, wet and down about £2,000. The thing is, the Edinburgh Fringe is the most amazing place to go if you're a punter, because you will see a range of stuff there. There's 3,300 shows. You'll never see that anywhere else, right? The trouble is, as a performer, it's kind of like one of those Alaskan towns where they discovered gold. And the guys who were there at the beginning and discovered the gold, who were there, you know, in Edinburgh 20 years ago, they made it big and they got rich. And now Edinburgh has sold this vision of itself as this is the place you go to make it big. And thousands of people have flocked there. Yeah. And so Edinburgh's doing very well because Edinburgh can sell, you know, accommodation and venue spaces and food to all these thousands of performers. But there isn't the audience there to sustain 3,300 shows. And the bigger it gets, the fewer, audience members. So somebody said to me, you know, in the old days, a good Edinburgh could lead to a TV career. Now a TV career leads to a good Edinburgh. And that's kind of the problem with it for me.
On the fringes, to say with the word fringe, since I would like enjoy stand-up comedy, etc., and would not be any kind of an expert on it at all, the kind of comedians that I know are all on television. Or I know them because of being on television. Is that a bit unfair? Am I missing out so many?
Well, I mean, you are in the vast majority. Like, I mean, I did the one-man show circuit. I did a show at Edinburgh. And I shouldn't complain because I actually had a great time there and sold out. But once you've done that a few times, you can keep going back and keep trying to do it again. But like, where are you actually growing to?
Yeah.
Essentially, because having done the one-man tour circuit, and you mentioned the being in LA and Pakistan, various places, you can do that. But until you're on TV or radio, 95% of the population
don't know you exist. The festival that we're talking about here is fueled by the broken dreams of performers.
Essentially, yeah. It's funded by everyone's going to go and lose between £2,000 and £20,000, depending on how big the production is, and most of them won't make that back. And as I say, if you want to make it big, you kind of have to be on TV and radio. So personally, I reached a stage where I went, okay, I've toured around Ireland a bunch of times, I've toured around the world a few times. What I need to do now is I started writing for Irish Pictorial Weekly and getting on the radio, and just that's kind of, you have to move towards, as I say, you can't spell comedian without media. And that's sadly or happily kind of... Gosh. No, but it's true. Like, you actually cannot make a career unless you're on radio and TV.
So is it fair to say that you've seen many things at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival that were absolutely hilarious and fantastic, and you were amongst five other people in the hall?
I've certainly seen good, very, very good shows, very good comedians, and then I've seen quite mediocre stuff from established names who are on the telly, who are doing an okay show, but they didn't have a lot of time because they were doing a lot of TV stuff, and it's still packed every night.
You know, it's amazing. So much of this conversation, you could easily just substitute comedians for bands. It's the exact same kind of, like, with the Electric Picnic coming up and what you just said about Edinburgh, you'd wonder, could you actually make
so
the
much
same?
Of performance, sadly, is marketing, and that is a sad truth, but there you go.
Okay, well, anyway, the show that you're actually doing at the Dublin Fringe Festival is called Developing the Country as a Whole. Yes, I mentioned it earlier on, without the W-H-O-L-E. What are the issues that are exercising you at the moment, A.B.?
So the basic hook for the show is that I got married last year. Actually, 2 days' time is my anniversary. And the woman I married, Adriana, she grew up in New Jersey, but her father was born in Algeria. Her mother's Italian-American. She has this, like, mad mixed Mediterranean heritage. And we had this conversation of, where are we going to live? Are we going to live, you know, in America or London or where? And we decided we were going to live here, which is great. We really love it here. But it means that I am now seeing my own country through the eyes of somebody who didn't ever plan to come and live here. Yeah. She just happened to be studying and then we met and, you know, that's...
And is there a culture shock coming through the backside of your brain because of this?
There sort of is. And then you just, you know, you start to see things with someone else's eyes and you realise, like, why is it, for example, that every time somebody important comes to Ireland, like Michelle Obama or Tom Cruise or the Queen of England, we always have the same three moves. Number one, buy them a pint of Guinness. Number two, show them something really old we think they will love, like Clan MacNoise or the Book of Kells. And number three, put them on a chat show and ask them, so, do you like Ireland? What do you think of Ireland? Will you come back? And essentially, as a country, we're the worst first date ever. Can I get you drunk? Have you seen my stamp collection? Do you like me? What do you think of me? Would you like to move in with me? Hang on, I've got your certificate. I think we're related. And then we wonder why they never call.
So you're basically saying there's an element of cap and handness about it all, the way we go about it. Thank you very much for coming here, kind of thing. You know?
Well, we just
Tom Cruise came here and he did the late, and like I was trying to drive out of here one day, and there was more black sort of, you know, windowed cars, whatever, that were imported from America coming in through the driveway than there would have been for a president. And he came in the back door at the far side and everything else. There was all sorts of security.
Yeah, and so what's schizophrenic about it is we and maybe I shouldn't use that word. It's slightly loud, but what's sort of strange about it is that we do that to people who are important, right? And then we also complain about immigration, and then we also when people who are quote unquote unimportant, when immigrants are trying to come here, we're really freaked out in the current thing. I mean, I can't get over the fact that, like, the way I see it, right, either you have a country with too many jobs and immigration, or you have a country with not enough jobs and mass immigration. Mm-hmm. And we know all about that. Saying you want to have more jobs but no immigrants is like saying you want to date a supermodel who's really low maintenance. It's not an option, right? And at the moment, like, we have been complaining. I've complained, and we've all complained for decades about the plight of immigration and all our brightest and best are leaving, and, you know, the terrible impact on rural Ireland. You know, young families want to live there. In the current immigration crisis, we have young families risking their lives to come and move and live in rural Ireland who would love to be here. Yeah. We have doctors queuing up. You know, we're always not enough junior doctors. And I mean, just imagine, you know, the power of, imagine if you could go to a nightclub in Ireland in 5-10 years time and snog somebody who wasn't a distant cousin. And imagine if you went afterwards for food and you went to a takeaway where they actually know how to make kebabs. I mean, we have potential there. Imagine people who actually find ghost estates sort of reassuringly familiar. In a weird sort of way. I just think this.
So wait a minute, migration is all positive, is that what you're telling me?
I'm not saying it's all positive. I'm saying there are definitely huge. We're seeing this as, oh, this is a crisis, and will we do our share and shoulder the burden? It's not a burden. It's the brightest and best of somewhere else getting the hell out because it's horrible there. We know all about that. We've been doing that for generations. So we should be embracing this, I would say, opportunity to some extent. It's not all positive.
I mean, there are cultural hiccups?
There are, I would say. I get a thing where people, when I'm chatting to people from other countries, sometimes they say to me, where are you from? And I go, I'm from Dublin. And they go, well, you don't sound like you're from Dublin. And I think I know what they're trying to say. I think it's slightly racist of them, actually, to come here and expect that we all sound the same. But as I sort of point out, like, not everybody from Dublin sounds like a character from Love Hate. Some of us sound like actors from Love Hate, you know? And I did see another thing, that kind of a cultural hiccup that really blew me. There's a chain of Chinese restaurants in Dublin called Cafe Mao. I think it's in the rest of the country as well. Whose idea was it to make a trendy noodle bar named after a guy responsible for mass genocide? Like, can you imagine if I opened an Italian restaurant, a pizzeria called Mussolini's? You know, try our vegetarian special.
I think
Hitler.
It was seen as post something rather ironic, this and etc.
Try our vegetarian special. The Hitler is really good as Jews. Healthy Jews, concentrate.
Point taken. Okay, by the way, you started off by saying here that you recently got married, and this is going to be part of your what? Part of the actual sort of stage show in terms of standing there.
There'll be certain things I will talk about on stage that I probably shouldn't share with the nation at 9 o'clock in the morning, because they probably haven't signed up for that, to be fair. But if there's, you know, in front of a live audience in the evening, I may discuss certain aspects of my personal life that I wouldn't put on the airwaves. But in terms of just, I mean, some things I could say, like for example, when you get married, people think, oh, it's so great you found your soulmate. And I just want to make it very clear, Adriana is not my soulmate. I've tried going out with my soulmate, and my soulmate is an emotionally damaged, overly cerebral, overly talkative narcissist. It is a disaster. I am, you know, I need to be from someone very different from me. Like, you know, me and my soulmate could quite happily argue for 4 hours about American foreign policy before we realised that it was 3 a.m, there was no food in the house, and we were both starving, and it was Christmas morning. And I don't really want to wake up on Christmas morning with my soulmate, because it'll be kind of like, hey, I didn't get you anything because, you know, I don't think material goods lead to lasting happiness. Yeah, well, I didn't get you anything because I didn't want to support the hijacking of a legitimate pagan festival by the forces of Coca-Cola company, capitalism and Christianity. So, nah. That's a horrible way to spend Christmas. So I found somebody who's very different from me, and that's actually really healthy, and I'm going to live less in my head. A goal I'm not quite achieving this morning, but in general.
I'm still feeling a lot of sympathy for Adrienne, I can tell you, at this stage of the game.
I think As is the nation, possibly.
Just like one last one in terms of just anything at all. Like let's go wider. Property, politics, all that kind of thing.
We did get a house, and I've decided that getting a house, or at least I think I've worked out that getting a house is probably a bit like having a child, in that half of your, which we haven't done, by the way, just to get that out of the way, half of your brain, we're only married a year, I mean, half of your brain is consumed with kind of love and just wants to keep taking photographs and of the new house or child and keep showing them to your friends who couldn't give a toss unless they've got one of their own to compare it to. And then the other part of your brain is going, how will I ever afford this? And what is that awful smell? So it's a similar kind of process.
Just one last thing I wanted to ask you there, Amy. We mentioned on the programme the other day about the jokes that are voted best in the Edinburgh Fringe. Does that really get in the way of really what it's supposed to be all about? You shouldn't be doing things like that.
Well, it's not that you shouldn't do it. It's that the best jokes of the Edinburgh Fringe competition, which they do every year, and I'm doing air quotes here, is... basically, it's the 10 best puns in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the best joke in Edinburgh probably took 7 minutes to tell, and it involved a deeply personal story and an epiphany and all kinds of sadness and then just joy at the end. And, like, those are the best jokes, but you can't put that in a newspaper column.
No, a newspaper column needs the pithy one-liner.
Exactly.
It.
Yeah. So it's all very kind of, it's a sort of Jimmy Carr style of gag, you know, one-liner, which is perfectly fine as comedy, but it's not, but anyone who reads that and goes, well, the best joke wasn't very good, but the whole Edinburgh Fringe is pretty rubbish, you know, you just can't represent the best joke. It's like if you wrote down everything Tommy Tiernan said, right, on a night, and I read it out loud in a newspaper,
right,
it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be as funny. Saying it, it's coming from his soul. It's beautiful and hilarious.
Okay, well, listen, AB, thanks a million for dropping in. It's AB Phil. I'm going to kick you out because I can see our other guest there through the window. There's Adrian Dunbar giving us a thumbs up. Isn't that what you're supposed to do today on the day? Oh, no, it's the finger up. Which thumb is it about today? I can't remember. Anyway, if you'd like to hear more from AB Phil Bowman, the one-man show is running at the Tiger Dublin Fringe from September 7th to the 13th, is that right? Am I right about that? To the 13th in Sweeney's on Dame Street. That'll be in the centre of Dublin. It's called Developing the Country as a Whole, H-O-L-E. And you'll find full details at fringefest.com.